You're listening to SBS News.
So today we're all talking about social cohesion. It's
yes.
a topic that's in the SBS News every day at
yes.
the moment. You've spoken previously about how our country's diversity is a great strength to us.
Yes.
How concerned are you at the moment about what's perceived as fraying social cohesion?
I think there's many ways we can look at social cohesion. The great honour of serving as Governor-General is that I can bring a different lens to some of these discussions. I've reached out to both the new appointed envoys for anti-Semitism and Islamophobia to ask them for their advice and counsel on what they see in their worlds, particularly right now, given much of the trauma and anxiety that sits in our communities because of the issues occurring in the Middle East. And I will take my advice from those that are in community, and I think that's an appropriate role for a Governor-General. But you ask a question about cohesion. I get to go to communities where I see the very best of social cohesion. I meet often with young leaders from multicultural communities who have a very clear-eyed vision of what is essential for cohesion, and it comes down to inclusion and respect. And many of them say that they want me to continue to talk about care at the centre of the work that I do, and that care for the way we conduct conversations, the way we care for how we disagree without falling into rancour and violence and disrespect, is one of the most important things that I can do and that any person in a position of public office must do. So I think we can convince ourselves that we're becoming less socially cohesive, or we can look optimistically at those that are teaching us that to care for one another, to carefully listen to one another's difference of opinions, and to engage respectfully and with a deep sense of inclusion to actually bring everyone along in this great Australian story. And that's part of my job as Governor General, is to amplify those stories of cohesion. I see it every day in the young students that come through Government House. They are an incredibly diverse group of future leaders, and they don't feel dislocated. They feel part of a big story about the future. They're our future leaders, and I listen to them and think about what it is for those of us that have these remarkable positions of privilege, how we mirror that and talk about the strengths of our multiculturalism, our First Nations communities, and the British traditions that end up with someone like me in this role. But there's a great story for us to remind ourselves about the fact that cohesion is possible. It has been a great story of the last 50 years, and we must not be complacent and seek to and see ourselves lose that wonderful opportunity that we've actually prospered on.
Nevertheless, today,
yes.
there's no doubt there are some pressures in the society
yes.
important this week. What challenges to social cohesion are you observing at the moment? Whilst there's a positive...
Yeah. Well, I think I get to see and observe in my role the dangers of those that fall into the trap of not listening and not caring. And I just come back to the role I play in its guise, Governor General, is to do a lot of listening and observing, and then amplifying the best of Australia back into the conversation. I guess what I would see, if we lose the capacity to care, if we lose the capacity to reflect deeply on what has made us strong, then that would be a worrying trend. I think we've got to care for civics deeply. I think if we get complacent about our civics, that's as big a part of the problem of a sense of social cohesion or dislocation that we must guard against. And I think the more we pay attention to the civics institutions that have actually supported multiculturalism, supported the great dynamism of Australia's cultural diversity, that's on all of us to focus in and not allow ourselves to fall into a trap of the easy attack or the lack of care for the way we prosecute the views that we have. I think it's important that we take that moment and think about how we care for one another in very difficult circumstances, often where there's great trauma and anxiety sitting in some communities, to understand that and reflect upon that. So when we have disagreements, it's a reflection that we may think differently, but we find a pathway to a cohesive outcome, and to one that actually prospers, well, helps us all prosper. But I think it's about focusing on the things that have made us strong and caring enough about the way we conduct ourselves to ensure that we don't allow the tropes of division to drive an outcome that none of us in Australia would enjoy or see as positive for the country.
Moving to our referendum, which was something we've marked this week, obviously, the 1 year, first year anniversary, you were a very strong advocate of the yes vote in the West of Parliament referendum. What impact do you feel that the ongoing 12 months has had on Australia, and how can we move better toward a reconciliation at this point?
Well, I think it was an important time to reflect on a year's time that had passed since the referendum itself. I just spent that time listening to those Aboriginal people for whom the referendum held such hope and optimism, and I reflect on the fact that they are, many are still hurting, and there's many conversations that are still taking place about the way forward. In my role, I think the best thing I can do is continue to talk about the fact that 65,000 years of extraordinary history and connection to this country, this magnificent continent, has been shared so generously with all of Australians for such a long time. And I would just encourage those that reflect on this, particularly non-Indigenous Australians, to reflect on something I keep talking about, which is care for institutions and care for civics. And the care for the institution of why we have a strong democracy and how we exercise votes. So at any time that I'm talking to young students and they ask, why do I think we're a strong country, I talk about those institutions of which I'm a part, our compulsory voting and an independent electoral system. And I think about the fact that the Independent Electoral Commission today actually communicates out to all those who vote to consider how you receive your information when you make a decision about how to vote, and that the scourge of misinformation, disinformation, in whatever form it takes, is one we must be careful about and reflect on. And when we exercise our votes, whether it's in a referendum, as we had last year, or in an election, that rather than not caring or thinking that the vote doesn't mean very much or being misled without taking time to reflect, to research and make a considered decision about that vote, that's a dangerous place for a country like Australia to be in, because our great strength are these institutions, and the idea that we would ever waste a vote without thinking about why any individual votes a particular way on any issue without consideration, good research and reflection, I think would undermine what I think is one of the great strengths of our democracy. So whilst I don't have a view that I can share on what happened in the referendum, I do think it taught us a lot about why we need to care about the institutions, how we vote when asked to give a view, and how we think about the way we form our views, whatever they may be, but use judgment and diligence, just as the Independent Electoral Commission has been asking us to do, and be curious about information that comes to us from forms which we may not have thought about. And that, to me, opening up those conversations that says, am I thoughtful when I make these decisions, that will be terribly important for the future of reconciliation and engagement, and particularly listening to those Aboriginal people, Torres Strait Islander people, who voted, I think it was almost 84% of all First Nations people in this country voted positively in the referendum. I think there's a message in that about a sense of engagement with the Constitution. And now that I spend a lot of time thinking about the Constitution, I encourage everyone to go back and look at our Constitution, think about the great strength it brings our country, and think about the modern context in which all of our constitutional arrangements operate.
And on this very important topic with the King's visit imminent now,
yes.
When King Charles arrives in Australia soon, His Majesty has recently said in a letter which I have, that he would not stand in the way if Australians wanted to move towards a republic. Would you be discussing this visit?
Well, when the King visits, and I'm so delighted to be part of the team that will host their Majesties on their visit in the coming days, there'll be many discussions about a modern, contemporary Australia. He's coming to see the very best of modern Australia. It's a very short visit, but one that both he and Her Majesty are spending time deep in community. They're seeing the very best of our scientists, our creatives, those that work deep in community, sustainability. They've got a very full program. They visit the War Memorial, our parliaments. And I think in that context, the conversations I'll be having with the King really go to showing him a modern Australia. He's a modern king. I've had several very, very lovely conversations with him. He has a great warmth and kindness at his core. He cares very deeply about the country, but he cares about the way Australians want this country to proceed. He has said in that letter, I understand, that decisions about the future constitutional arrangements are matters for the Australian public. And I fully support that. These will always be in the hands of the Australian public. Should there ever be a moment where the public seeks to have that question asked again, that is a matter for all Australians. And I think he respects that. I certainly respect that in this role. And I think we'll be talking more about the great strengths of the country. I don't think that there'll be much conversation about the matters that you raise. I think it's more very much about him having confidence in me and my role, and me being able to show him what a modern Australia, what success looks like for Australians. And I know that he's very much looking forward to the visit on his way to Samoa, where of course he's attending the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting.
How would you like to take it forward? What do you see a modern Australia looking like, say, in the next 5 years?
Well, I started with my appointment when I was sworn in, by focusing on the fact that I thought any person coming into this job at this time with the extraordinary history of this country and an opportunity from this office that, to do so much, to actually have a strategy and to think carefully about what would success look like. And so I've just finished my first 100 days in the role, and central to that has been this agenda of care and kindness and inclusion. And I think that's a very modern way of thinking about both the role and the country, and back to the notion of caring for each other and caring for carers and caring for our environment, caring for our institutions and our civics. I think as a modern Australia, to utilise all of the great benefits we have had with our deep history, our institutions, and now this great multicultural story that will define the future, that this is the, that's the modernity and optimism and visibility that the Prime Minister asked me to bring to the role. And I'm enjoying that. I'm finding that wherever I go, Australians in every, from every walk of life, are asking me to talk more about care and kindness, and to show that that is actually a, one of the great strengths of a modern society, and that, again, we shouldn't be complacent about that, and showing care for one another and care for our future, as we are here at FECA, understanding that part of that is embracing the extraordinary multicultural country that we have become and will take us into our future. The King, of course, is coming to Australia to look at that, and as a modern king, his first time here as King of Australia, he'll be able to witness firsthand just the great strength and success that that brings to Australia. And so I think that's modernity. I think being more visible and being very optimistic is part of the job that I now play. And I'm so delighted that so many people around the country from every kind of background are thanking me for that to be the focus. It's a strength for the country, and I think that's what we expect of people in public office, and I'm just so, so honoured and privileged to be serving in this role at a time when I think the extension of a hand of kindness through the course of a lot of disruption, a lot of issues that Australians are facing, it's a pathway through that I think hopefully will build a strengthening of the country and really play into the wonderful historic advantages that we have had as a nation.
You've spoken your passion about your passion for Indigenous issues. We've talked about the referendum that didn't succeed, and a vision for a more modern Australia. To what end can we hope to be more inclusive with Indigenous Australians, as we've been so successful with multicultural Australia? What would that pathway look like in the next 5 years?
Well, everything that I care about in this role starts in an act of listening. And my understanding of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australia started through family connections, through getting to know many, many Aboriginal people, through my husband's family and through those that had spent time in community, visiting community, and coming to a deep understanding of this great 65,000 years of history that provides us with, I think, almost like a bedrock of how we then move into the other two parts of our strength. And so I think it's just, this is a moment to do some listening, some reflection, to show care and kindness for First Nations people, and not assume, and actually have built friendships. I've learnt more by just spending time as friends, sharing meals, sharing conversation, sharing each other's stories. That moment of care and listening and understanding about First Nations people, I think, is the first step on any road towards a form of reconciliation. I did serve on the board of Reconciliation Australia for many years, and I met some of the great advocates, both Indigenous and non-Indigenous, and those meetings and discussions were always about a generosity of spirit both ways, but a lot of listening and an understanding of a history that actually strengthens us rather than separates us. And I think about that with every part of my role, whatever community I'm visiting, whatever the background of those that I get to meet, it's to listen, to reflect the very best of those moments, to share that with the nation, and to think about these as great strengthening moments. These relationships that could form across our country, across cultural backgrounds, across gender, across age, these are the things that I think Australians have done well historically, and in a moment of where there's been cost of living crises, there's been mental health challenges for so many post-COVID, I think us really reflecting on the fact that this is a moment for us to listen to one another, care for one another, open our hearts and minds to the views of others, and maybe sit back and not always think our own view is necessarily the only view, and then working together. And I think that's the future of a country that I see. And when I see it at work, demonstrated by communities all over the country, that's when I know that the future is bright. but we need to talk about it a lot and we need to show that a lot more. That's why I love the fact that SBS is turning 50 next year, because the whole way of the storytelling that actually can help us understand this is terribly powerful. And I hope as Governor-General, in addition to my executive functions, my constitutional functions, my ceremonial functions and my Commander-in-Chief functions, that one of the greatest things is the convening and listening and just showing up and then replaying so much of those stories back to the Australian community, because there's such great strength and optimism at the core of what is happening in most communities across Australia today.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Pleasure.